And joining me right now, Bobby Marks from ESPN, NBA front office insider. Bobby, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I'm interested in the Thunder because now on a little bit of a win streak, this has been a big story this year, how they haven't meshed. In your opinion, why are they winning games right now as opposed to the slow start that they got on?
Well, I think they've kind of identified some of their roles here. You know, they've kind of their shot selection is a lot better. You've seen certainly towards the end of games, probably not really last night against Toronto, but that at least that Houston game where, you know, the three-pointers that were usually going up or they're now settling for twos there. I think Carmelo's role has been more identified more of as a third option, not as a number one. And, I mean, in the way Steven Adams has played, I think he's more of the kind of that unsung hero here. And I think you're going to see this Thunder team probably going a little bit of a roll right now. They've got Milwaukee coming up. They've got both Los Angeles teams going up. So this win streak, which I think is at six, could certainly go to 11. And they can maybe, you know, get into that, you know, four. I think they're five right now, maybe into that four range right now. So that's why I always said that, you know, it's such a long year, 82 games, that let's see where teams are around Christmas time, January 1st, before we start to, you know, kind of bury teams or kind of, you know, put teams on a pedestal here. And the Thunder have certainly found their groove here. Certainly got a lot more work to do. I don't think the goal was just to be a four or five seed, you know, when the season ends.
Of all the roster construction that you saw in the offseason, whether it was with Minnesota, Oklahoma City, Golden State, well, they didn't do much. Houston, what the Cavaliers did in the trade with the Celtics, which one of those at first blush did you believe was going to work the best?
Well, I thought Oklahoma City would, just based on talent alone, and that certainly has taken, you know, a long time to kind of, you know, come to fruition here. I mean, I like what Houston was able to do with, you know, especially with Chris Paul. I think the under the radar signings with Tucker, Bamute, when you add them to Gordon, Harden, Capella, I think those are kind of the missing players that, you know, they could have used maybe in that in the playoffs last year. Now they got to get healthy though. That's the big key as far as with Capella in Chris Paul, but it's so hard to build a team, you know, free agency or the draft, even through trades, and then expect to kind of hit the ground running, you know, when training camp starts and the season starts. I think that's why Boston had been such a good story, even though they've you know, struggled a little bit of late, where they added 10 of 14 new players and got off to that great start there.
I know Houston has been great, even though they lost three in a row, but for the most part, Houston has been great early on, but I cannot get the image of that James Harden game six against the San Antonio Spurs out of my head. I can't do it. So it's one of these deals where, and of course, Chris Paul has had his struggles, whether it's his fault or not. That's a discussion for another day in the postseason. But, you know, no matter what they do in this regular season, I feel like I don't want to fall for it. Is it fair to judge this Rockets team based on what those guys have done in the postseason in the past?
No, I think you're right on. I think even watching them against Oklahoma City and then against the game against the Clippers on Friday night, that image of that, you know, that I guess it was a game six against San Antonio, I started thinking about that. And, you know, they certainly are a different team when Paul and Capella is on the court. But, you know, there's still a lot of, you know, question marks for Chris Paul when we get to the playoffs. So that's going to be interesting to follow there. But, yeah, they haven't. You know, regular season is one thing. When you get to the playoffs and you're facing a Golden State team in a Western Conference Finals, or even in Oklahoma City or San Antonio in a Western Conference Semifinals, I think that's kind of where, you know, that's where this team will be identified from. But yeah, I like what they've done. I'm not sold. I'm not ready to kind of, you know, roll them into the NBA Finals right now. And a lot of it, as I mentioned, it's durability. You know, can Chris Paul stay healthy during the season and to be healthy when the playoffs start?
Gio and Jones with Bobby Marks of ESPN, NBA front office insider for them, former front office man himself. You know, back to the Thunder for a second. Well, I guess it's sort of a question about a couple of teams. When you have all these stars that are on these teams and it's in more than one place, you know, can coaches really coach anymore. We've seen that the star player gets guys fired. We saw it with Fizdale and Gasol. We've seen it a million times in the NBA. But I was hearing criticisms of Billy Donovan's job with the Thunder early on, and I'm thinking, you know, with all those guys in one place and Russ being Russ, you know, can a good coach really be a good coach in today's NBA with that many great players on the roster?
Well, and you remember, we shortened the preseason, too. So we go 3 weeks of the preseason here, and you're limited what you can do with them in the offseason and during, you know, in September and even in July and August. So, yeah, I mean, you're trying to mix and match, you know, rosters together, certainly teams that have turned over. And I think, you know, what Billy has been able to do, and I never thought his job was in jeopardy just based on Sam Presti's track record of how, you know, he gives coaches a – you know, some rope here. You saw he had some longevity with Scott Brooks here, and now Billy's in, I think, his fourth year. And, you know, I think that's why, that's the beauty of it all, is I think if you have some patience here, and I don't think Memphis did, that things usually work itself out. I think you see that in Chicago. Look what Fred Hoiberg's been able to do with that roster. Those guys are, it's a college-level roster of players, you know, on rookie contracts for with a guy who coached a long time in at Iowa State there. So, I think if you have the right players there and with the right personality from a coach, I think good things can happen. But I think a lot of it all has to do is just have some patience.
Yeah, something I wanted to ask you that has been driving me nuts for years, and I understand why teams are going to be better at home, the obvious reasons, but the disparity for certain teams, like the Knicks, for example, 15-6 at home, 2-11 on the road. The Thunder, we were just talking about them, 14-4 at home, 6-11. On the road. San Antonio, 16-2 at home, 8-9 on the road. Denver, 12-3 at home, 7-13 on the road. So we talk about analytics and metrics in the NBA, and there's obvious reasons why a team's going to have a better home record. But why, in your opinion, is the disparity so great with so many teams in the NBA?
I think it's mental toughness. I think a lot of it has to do with that. I think the ability to have a closer down the stretch to put a ball on the ball in an alpha, you know, male's hands there to be able to close the game. I mean, I was fortunate to have Jason Kidd for a long time, you know, and his mental toughness at the end of these games kind of willed, and that separated him. Certainly, when we were a good road team in those teams in New Jersey here, and I think that's what, when you get to the last 2 minutes of games here, I think that's where you see certainly these young teams struggle. You see New York, you know, certainly struggle. Big difference from being at home and then, you know, compared to being on the road.
Yeah, and last night, the greatest example of that, I mean, they don't score a bucket in the last several minutes. Enes Kanter's taking threes to tie the game. They're turning the ball over like they're supposed to be doing that. And the Bulls come back and win. They had a 15-point lead at one point in that game, and the Bulls didn't have a lead until like 36 seconds to go in a game. So how do you fix that? I mean, you would think, you know, you think Kanter, alpha male, you think that Porzingis is doing that. You got Jared Jack, who's been there in the NBA for a long time. There's guys that are there. I mean, how do you fix that if you're a coach?
Well, I don't know if you do. I think you've got to, you know, I think for New York, I think a lot of it is more about development. Maybe they spoiled us a little bit early with their record right now. I think for them to figure out if Frank Ntilikina is their point guard of the future, I think you need to put him in spots like that. You almost throw him into the deep end and see if he can swim here. So it's going to be growing pains. You know, not every team has an A-level point guard, and with the Jared Jack combination, Ntilikina, Ron Baker, you're going to have moments like that.
Gio and Jones with Bobby Marks across the country on CBS Sports Radio. I know trade deadline stuff is still not in the forefront, but do you believe that there are rumblings with big names that you think will end up being moved at the trade deadline, or is it still too early to get a feel of what teams are going to want to do because of where they are in the standings right now?
I think it's still early. I think, you know, the Clippers are a team to watch, but they've played well, better lately. I think they're 3 games out of 8. So what happens with DeAndre Jordan and Lou Williams? Those are the two names. I think we can probably, for now, at least put the Paul George rumors to bed until what that Thunder team is right around, you know, Feb 8. I think guys, teams like Atlanta, maybe sellers, you got to look at some of those rebuilding teams, you know, Bellinelli, Ilyasova, those are kind of your two names. But the trade deadline just moved up 2 weeks earlier from Feb 22nd to the 8th. You know, we're right about, you know, a couple days away from January 1st. So I think you'll start to see things pick up right now. I don't see any monster moves, you know, like maybe we've seen in the past or at least rumored, but I think DeAndre is probably your big name that you could have to watch out for.
Do you like the idea of the trade deadline being moved up a couple weeks?
I do, because it gives you some separation from the March 1 waiver buyout deadline where you can add players to your postseason roster here. I think it forces teams' hands a little bit earlier. You do it before the All-Star break here. Teams usually wait until the last minute to be able to do a deal. So now once we get past Jan 1, you know, things are going to get a little bit more busier.
If you were part of the Cavaliers organization, what would be the thing you'd be most excited about in adding Isaiah Thomas when he's healthy enough to play on a consistent basis? And what would be your biggest concern about it?
Well, I think just integrating him there. But, you know, it's not like he's going to have to take a job away from somebody. You've got, Calderon, you know, Rose isn't even back yet. So I think that's kind of where it is, just basically integrating him back into your roster, and I think managing his minutes so when you get to April that, you know, he is in one piece here.
Are you going through security at the airport right now?
I am actually on a plane.
I was going to say, so you're like putting your stuff away and sitting down and people are staring at you? So is everybody looking at you like you're crazy?
They are, yes.
All right.
I figured you guys have been really good to me in the last 2.5 years, and you're on your second to last show that I at least had to come on and pay some homage to you.
Well, we appreciate that, Bobby, and I will let you go so you can be a normal passenger right now. We appreciate the time as always. Best of luck.
I'll talk to you when you get up to New York.